Step aboard Motor Yacht Unbridled, where elegance meets the open sea. Dive into a world of refined adventure, tailored experiences, and five-star service. From sun-soaked decks to moonlit dinners, every moment on Unbridled is designed to indulge your senses. Whether it's an intimate escape or a celebration of a lifetime, Unbridled, where the extraordinary is standard.
My name's Captain Liam, Motor Yacht Unbridled. I think you can see us there. And we are honored today to have Captain Marty. Marty or Martin?
Marty or Martin, yeah.
And Deborah, his lovely wife.
Hello.
And Sophie, his daughter.
Hello.
Tell us about yourself, Marty, if you want to introduce around the table. It's a pleasure to have you here for a cup of tea in the Bridge of Unbridled.
Yeah, thank you for having us on board Bridal. Bridal, stunning boat after all these years, a Trinity built, but the woodwork, amazing. We had a little walkthrough, and I'm sitting here with my wife and my daughter, Sophie.
Yes, thanks for having us today.
Oh, I know, you're the locals here. When we came into Port Angeles, I had about three people saying, you've got to get a hold of Marty, got to get a hold of Marty. Sure. Well, I'm glad I did. I don't know if I did get a hold of you, because you all of a sudden you're on the dock, and I'm like, that's someone with some eggs and donuts. I'm like...
Well, it's one of those things that... First impressions and meeting someone, it goes a long way. But I think we moved here from Port Angeles 20 some years ago. But
wow.
Industry has been good to me.
Yes, right. It's a beautiful industry. That's why I've kind of started this captain's chat. You asked Deborah why, like, how many have I done of these? Mm-hmm. For me, I'm 45 now, a beautiful wife and two lovely children. And I just start to see these younger people coming into yachting. And sometimes their minds aren't really stable on, is there a future in yachting? Well, they want to get in for a year or 6 months or 3 months and high turnover and mental health issues or stresses and all this. And I'm like, yachting's unreal. Like, traveling the world at a certain stage in your life, I think it's, you know, pretty special.
Pretty special. I have to agree with you, Liam. And I've been just blessed in my career, starting back in 1988 on this coast in San Diego and meeting my wife in the industry.
Yeah.
1996 in Savannah. During a refit.
In Savannah. Lovely.
And then
some great couples are met during refits, and that's how yachting relationships work, isn't it? You know, you're there together and you're like, okay.
Yeah, it's just
and which yacht was that on?
I was in the gentleman that bought the boat with owner of Parafin.
Okay.
It was a 142 Palmer Johnson. That was a spec boat that was built, and he picked it up, fell in love with it.
Yeah.
The woodwork, I think, has turned Palmer Johnson woodwork at the time. That was what,
yeah. Great aluminum welders as well.
Yeah. They were getting into the tri-deck industry back in the day, 95, 96. Yeah, we met there and went cruising, spent the summer in Nantucket, and 96, and a few more years.
Traveling the ocean.
Caribbean and the Mediterranean, Transatlantic, adventures.
Well, we're here in the Pacific Northwest, so we're really excited about the Unbridled. We've got Zach as a chief officer. We're putting together a good platform, really excited moving up there. But what's your advice at this point? And I'll give you a quick introduction, Deborah, and and Sophie. What's your advice for yachts or captains going up into this area? Because it is remote cruising. This is the wilderness now. This isn't like the Med. You know?
Yeah. Yes, and there's a great distance between from one seaport to the next.
Yeah.
Being well prepared, and having land-based connections so you can call that somebody to get that provision. If it's a seal or a pump that's down in the engine room, or somebody's looking for caviar on your charter, you've got that connection that you can get it there.
We're at that stage now. Like, you've been through it as well, Deborah, and different vessels you've been on, and we're provisioning. We have kind of four trips up there so far, probably five. And we'll do all the preference lists, and we're like, how are we going to fit all this in? You know? So we're just trying to get the bulk dry items here. But it is possible to get provisions up there at Sitka and Juneau.
You know more about what's available, actually.
Yeah, and some of those locally you have to source it. It is better to have here going up, but your day-to-day vegetables, you will acquire.
It's all out of Seattle.
Yeah.
Seattle's the hub for the Pacific Northwest.
It really ends up being that way.
And Deborah, you enjoy it here? 20 years, is it, home?
Yes. Yeah. I mean, you know, starting off on yachts and then being a stewardess and then meeting Marty, traveling, working. It's been a great place for us to raise a family. up here in the Pacific Northwest, but still maintain this sort of yachting connection with Marty's work and so on. And our daughter, Sophie, has actually worked on a yacht up in Alaska as well.
Lovely.
So that's been really amazing.
Well, you should come and join us for the season. We need some help.
How is that?
We've got a gap on board. Our bosun's leaving for a couple of weeks here on holiday. So if you need a, you want to come and do some work and help them.
Do some temp work.
Show these warm weather deck crew how to handle it. But then we got up here, and I think day two, they're outside, no gloves, no booties, with Crocs still. And I was like, come on, guys, let's start putting the boots on.
Yeah.
So they get it now. And Sophie, what's your favorite area of Alaska, the Pacific Northwest?
I love Port Angeles. I don't think I really appreciated it until I left. I went to college.
Okay.
Left, worked on yachts for a little bit, and then I kind of came back, and I love it here. I really appreciate growing up here.
Yeah.
And Alaska is gorgeous. My favorite place is Baranof Island.
Okay.
Up there. Just amazing coves and a lot of stuff that you can see.
Yeah, it's a special cruising ground. But the Pacific Northwest is kind of Alaska down to here, would you say? Or is it more, because obviously we're including, you know, British Columbia and places like that as well. So when people say Pacific Northwest, it's, is it mainly just the northwest of San Juan Island, Seattle, or is it into Alaska?
It's north. It's into north. Alaska. It's that inside passage that's really captive of called the Northwest.
Yeah.
Because then you got all the Dungeness crab, salmon, halibut, fishing. Really locally here in Port Angeles, it's phenomenal as well.
Really?
You get your king seasons, the same, you go out, you go to the Sitka, you know, early, you'll start really coming into the kings and salmon fishing. But the sightseeing, the whales, I think we do like it here in Port Angeles. We can go out
you get the whales here, do you?
We get the whales here. I've had orcas.
The Strait of Juan de Fuca.
I've had right D1. Right into
here. This is 2 months ago, right here in the harbor, I had an orca.
Wow.
I'll share a video with you.
Yeah,
I had an orca right here in the harbor. But then the humpbacks on the coastline, there's you know, some of the natives, there's an actual ceremony bringing the whales into the bay, and they roll within the harbor. So,
yeah, like
so we get humpbacks,
call.
Right?
Oh, okay.
Whale calling, so.
Well, we're hoping to see the bubble net feeding this season. That's what I'm hoping to get involved in and see it, which is kind of the southeast of Baranof Island down there.
Right.
Have you been to Port Alexander? I think it's on the very south of Baranof. It's very south tip. There's not much there. But I've, my years of cruising, I like picking these real remote places for some reason. Right. So I love that expedition style where you bring guests. They don't really see yachts. The guests seem to really enjoy that. And they've got some great stories in these ports. But
you've been to Alaska yourself, I think.
I've done Alaska three or four seasons, three different yachts, but not so much inside passage. I've done it twice. I've done the Northwest Passage. Across the United States, or from Boston all the way to Seattle. So that was special. I was 156th captain to do that. I was telling Zach about it. Captain Zach was on a 103-foot Dutch build, steel hull aluminum superstructure.
Right.
And that was one of the scariest moments of my career. You got to get through the pack ice.
You can see where you're getting through the ice.
Getting through the ice. Yeah, the noise is horrific.
Right.
It's just grinding on the hull, and you're like, oh, Cap, that's not a good feel. You've got to... We're a long way from, you know, warm water here, but you got to push your way through. And we're going ahead one knot and to the starboard side three knots because the whole pack of ice moves.
Wow.
Yeah. The wind picks up, it moves faster. You got to get out of it before it banks you up against the bay.
Jeez, just I never experienced that. So
But we're going to be seeing icebergs, correct?
You'll see icebergs. It's something to watch for.
Yeah.
Don't want to be the next Titanic.
No, no.
Yeah, it is an eerie feeling. I've been up to icebergs or even just large floating chunks of ice that are hit the hull. You just kind of slowly creep along. It's like, wow.
Yeah.
I can't imagine being packed in ice.
Yeah, no, it was a special moment. We got through it. But then I also did Kodiak, the Aleutian Chain. I've done three times now on different platforms. So I've been blessed in my career to really go remote. And I still, even to this day, going past here, all the crew, like, you've got to stop at Port Angeles, Cap. You've got to stop. I'm like, oh, a lot of people there, you know? We keep going, but it's been one of the best stops we've had, I think, for the efficiency of the team here at Westport and Platypus and yourself in the Port of Angeles. You've really, everyone's reached out above and beyond. What we're accomplishing in 2 days is phenomenal, Marty.
Well, you're great, of course.
We're getting upholstery made. We're getting main engines, valve lashes done. We're getting welding works done. We're getting, and the boys got their wet weather gear there.
Yeah, go to our Pally's, good to go.
And where is it, Zach? You ended up at one place to shop?
Oh, Swain's. They don't sell it at Swain's. You don't need it for Alaska. That's it.
I'm going to get some fishing, some crab pots and all the rest of it.
Yeah, fantastic. So it's a great stop, Port Angeles. It's kind of it is a stopping point. Going north or coming back through, hopefully we'll see you back on the way.
Yeah,
back
for sure. Sure. Well, we're leaving a lot of our summer gear here, our dive equipment. All the deck crew are giving away all our marlin lures and going to put them in storage for a couple of months and getting gum boots and, you know, rain jackets in this place. So we're ready for it. Have you got any other advice for kind of a captain going up there with its crew, either from a chief stew perspective? Provisions is the key, correct?
I'm going to deflect to you for the chief stew stuff as well, because you've been to Alaska before and you know what you might be missing and what you might need from
something Deborah's and Sophie's been to Alaska. Yeah. I've been a few times myself, yeah. And Deborah's not
so
been to Alaska, so it's one of
our. Oh, yeah, there you go.
Here's a Port Angeles person who's lived here 20 years and haven't been yet, but I keep hearing wonderful things.
Well, maybe this summer, you never know. It's not for out there. So the flights are straight from Seattle to Sitka or to Juneau or to Ketchikan. That's the path, is it?
Yeah, a lot of it, I think, goes through Anchorage itself, and then there's smaller flights up. I'm not sure. The direct, I know you do Sitka and Ketchikan.
Okay, that's the most common one.
Yeah.
I flew Juneau to Seattle.
You flew Juneau as well?
To come back. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it's pretty efficient.
You have a connection for who to contact for provisioning, too.
There's a few different organizations that help on the provisioning side and sorts.
What's interesting now, though, in yachting, you know, Marty, a lot of these charter brokers and clients, they're really specific. They don't want things flown in. You'd be very surprised. We've got a lot of people we're working with that are just saying, we don't want to fly anything in. Here's our preferences. Get it. If you can't get it, don't worry.
Gotcha.
We're doing things like carbon footprint on board now. We've just had to, every time we bunker fuel, we pay a tax or a small percentage of tax, which goes to developing countries to develop more energy efficiency plans.
Yeah.
So the yachting sector is really trying to push it a little bit.
I think that's fabulous. Port Angeles, again, here, we got Costco, Super Value. There's a local health food store here.
So from all those roles at sea, what have you found now? You've moved into Port Angeles into an office role, correct? But you still get out and about to see every yacht coming in, I see.
Yeah, I try to. Just, again, years of connections and contacts, and everybody's grown up onto the bigger boats. I first started going up the coast on a 72-foot boat.
Yeah.
Which, interesting enough, just to go back, 1988, that 72-foot boat.
It's a big boat.
The missus, when she had it built, they called it the QE2. She thought it was so big.
Lovely.
Here we sit on this 50-meter plus, and that's where the industry's gone. And I saw a lot of my mates in those eras are now running these larger vessels of sorts.
Understood. So you've seen the career progression of a lot of people on the West Coast and East Coast as well. That's what I do like about yachting. I think providing even Zach has just been approved as captain on Motor Yacht and Bridal, which is a big thing insurance-wise.
Big deal for me.
Congratulations.
Thank you very much.
I'm worried about my job now. So if you hear about some captain out floating in the ocean, this is one of my best friends on Scorpio, Baron Hitt, the captain over there. We started kind of 18, 19 years ago on Triton, the Delta that was built up here. So there's a big industry in Seattle and Port Angeles for building yachts.
Yes, there's been a lot of boats, 13 of them built right here at Westport, 50 meters, and a lot of service refit with platypus. And a lot of these projects can, as you're learning, can be done in water. We don't have the haul up facility, 550-ton at Westport.
Yeah, look at the bay. I think it's close.
They're pretty close. I think it's about 36, right, 38 maybe. But you still got to get the pads in there to.
I looked at it this morning, I think, with Greg. I think it was a platypus.
Yeah.
And how wide are you on? How wide is it? You know, it's like a stalemate going, how many inches are we playing with here? You know?
So, and I'll just throw it out there as a port of PA, as I'm working with the Port Authority now. We have 18 and a half acres and we're developing there for marine trades.
Oh, wow.
So the marine trades are here to stay in Port Angeles.
Yeah, good.
And as you come to find out, there's a lot of resources.
Yeah. Well, the history of Port Angeles, as we came in, the pilots were really friendly and telling us about the logging that went on here initially. And that was the birthplace of Port Angeles, was it?
The logging. You probably would have had a hard time getting in the harbor back in the day when there's stacks of logs throughout the harbor. fishing here. So,
and there was a pulp mill, so logging into the pulp mill.
Yeah, pulp mill, and then plywood they built over here. It was called K-Ply. That came down where the Marine Trades area is now.
Okay.
And then there was Rainier paper mill, which is just a little bit further east. You'll see that as you go out, there's still remnants there.
Yeah.
That cleanup site hasn't been finished yet.
Yep.
26 years later.
That's good. So, that's good. But yeah, there's quality takes time, you know.
Yeah.
And the exciting thing I think someone was mentioning about is Dungeness Crab Festival.
October.
October. Is it fun, is it?
Yes.
Fun, is it?
I work at it every year.
Sophie works at it.
Oh, what do you do, Sophie?
I bartend, and I just kind of help out with one of the booths. And
okay.
Sell a lot of crab and oysters, and there's all kinds of seafood there.
And where's the crab coming from? Because we hear about, obviously, the up north and the Bering Sea and all that. But you're still getting a lot of Dungeness crab here?
Yeah.
A lot of it here, and it's we work close with the
fishes.
No, actually, it's tribal industry.
Oh, okay.
So it's commercially caught, and they supply it for us for the crab festival. It's a fabulous time. There's continuous bands and crab. It's the one time a year that the Coho Ferry, which the Coho Ferry, everybody knows, travels from here to Victoria, an hour and 20 minutes.
Yeah.
What is it, like 25
miles
over?
Yeah.
17 miles
to Canada. Wow, to Canada.
So it's the one time a year that they sell out the foot passenger ferry.
Coming this way.
Yeah, coming back and forth. It's the only time of year. So there's a lot of people.
And you must have a lot of trade. Is there any commercial ships from the port that go to Canada and back? No,
Cabellier, works in and out of here. In Canada, they have supplies up in Canada that work back and forth. So, yeah, there's trade going back and forth, logging industry of sorts, paper goods, chip pulp barges.
But the big ones probably from Seattle to Vancouver. That's where the two major ports are.
That's our two major ports are, yes. Yeah.
It's funny, we're planning all this, you know, the itineraries for the summer, and we're really excited. But a lot of people, you know, the owners team and different people are trying to understand is how remote it is when we get up there.
Yes.
Because there's really nothing, is there?
Yeah.
You've got Sitka, you've got Juneau, and between the towns, there's just one or two indigenous communities, correct?
Well, going back to your provisioning question from earlier, when I went up to Alaska a couple summers ago, on a 40-meter Westport, we stopped at, like, Ketchikan, Juneau, and we were able to get all of our provisions locally. We didn't fly anything in.
Yeah.
We didn't
that's good.
We had guests on board all summer, so
yeah,
we did all our provisions locally.
I think my problem is I've gone from smaller boats, and over the years, every two or three years, someone will call me to be a captain of a bigger boat. In my mind, I still think of getting everything locally.
Yeah.
In my mind, I'm like, sure, we can get some seaweed and get a couple of things up here, some berries and halibut and salmon and all that. But some of the requests come in a bit tougher than what we can get locally, you know.
Yeah.
And what other questions have you got? You got any questions there?
Yeah, I like this one. Can you share your most memorable maritime experience along the Pacific Northwest coastline? So what was your most memorable? It could be the prettiest. It could be the most adventurous. It could be just... You know, what stuck the most in your brain going up and down around here?
Thanks, Zach. There's so many of them. I guess probably some of the fishing up in Sitka, I was impressed with. You may be pulling in a 40-pound king or 300-pound halibut, or some of them stick to me many years ago. But there's a, and you know, run into a, it's a boat up there called Gloria, and I actually worked on that one as a deckhand.
Oh, wow.
So, maybe you'll see the Snowdons when you get up there.
Okay.
I'll share that.
Gloria, yeah.
I'll share the details with you.
And what about
so
that
some of the
ice clothing you made on the...
Oh, I won't get into personal details.
You're an ice climber, are you?
Well, it
sounds like a challenge.
I was early in my career, I actually, you know, I get your foot in the door. So I was the chef, and
yeah,
I was the deck crew fishing line.
You were
the
stewardess.
Did everything. You got to
do
it.
Yeah. Small boats, a 90-foot boat.
They're the real stories. They're the ones I like.
Yeah.
Well, it's interesting. We're hanging at Baron Off. We were on the area. So we've done a lot of charters.
Yeah.
So we had all these fishermen that were coming in, and the owner would send up guys. It was like, you know, it's like, so I'm provisioning, doing lunches, and I'm doing dinners, but it just wasn't quite there. So Mrs. came with a couple of couples.
Yeah.
And she was caught me in a bridge at 5:30 in the morning cleaning. She's like, Marty, can we just step it up a little? Like, and I was like, yeah, okay, I'll work on that. And just so happened that day, we were picking up chunks of ice. And you've done, you put it in the cockpit, and you chip off, and you throw in your drink, and that ice cube lasts the whole night, whatever. So I saw this one piece of ice, and I was like, okay, I'll do an ice carving tonight.
Okay.
Step it up. So I saw this chunk of ice, and I was like, wait, that looks like a whale tail.
We've been looking at whale tails all day, right?
You're kidding. So I took that chunk of ice, and I went in the engine room, and he just carved it all up, and it came out.
Like a Dremel tool.
Yeah, and it's like this just swooping ice carving. I set it on the table, and that was it. She never mentioned about stepping
that
up.
That was it. That was a good one.
It was.
You gotta do what you gotta do.
Sharing that, honey.
Yeah, but it's funny. Even at my first job in America in Fort Lauderdale, I was scrubbing and doing day work for an owner. And I thought I was getting a job on the boat, but my job was to scrub the wooden dock in Fort Lauderdale that the boat was connected to.
Okay,
it was like 1:30. I was going to be first mate, and he's like, "We're going to start here." Mind you, after about 2 weeks of scrubbing, and he liked the job, I then got onto the boat. It was like his little test.
Yes,
right. If you survive the dock and scrubbing with a wide brush and painting and all that, then you'd get on the big boat. But yeah, I think that's the thing about yachting. There's so many different stories that are around that bring us to such a beautiful industry. I think what you've done for the industry is phenomenal, from building boats, that's got to be challenging, doesn't it?
It's
the West Coast, like designing the crew cabins you said on the 50 meter, and then the 107.
117, the new latest 117 that Westbrook put out. I got my hands all over that, just layout and design and aspects of, how it functions with mixing the crew and the guests and the owners. Yeah, I've been really blessed, look, I met my wife in the industry, a daughter that's touched in the industry, from crewing myself and being involved at sea for 12 years, and now 26 years off of boats.
Yeah.
Building for 20-some years.
Yeah.
Now working for Port Authority.
Yeah, exactly. So what's some advice for me, though? As a captain, I've been on it 45 years. All captains getting to my stage in our career where I still love going to sea,
right?
But I've got the family at home that I want to spend more time with. Is the building or the new builds a good option?
We could probably get into a whole other segment.
Let's do that. I see charter brokers and charter agents and new builds. But for me, I'm just from the sea. Not yet. I keep saying it.
That's why I keep walking the docks myself.
The yachting world, people are getting more aware of how important family is and doing the sort of job sharing.
True.
Allowing captains to spend more time with their crew, to spend more time with their families.
Rotation.
Rotation, I think advisory side of it, it's really becomes trust with these owners and such that you need.
Yeah, well, I'm always transparent with people. I'm at the stage of my career now. I'm like, I still love going to sea, but maybe is there a surveyor in my future? Is there driving a ferry in Canada or America? Who knows? That's what I think is exciting about the maritime sector.
Well, yes, the boat building, being a marina manager.
Well, for me now, that's always what I thought of, actually.
Right.
But I don't know about the cold. I'm a warm water person. I don't have to go down to somewhere like Dominican, down to the Costa Rica or a place like that. We're up here for the season. We'll wrap it up now. Have you got any other questions or any other advice you'd like to give or ask?
I would just say I think it's, I'd encourage young people to get into the industry. Yeah. I think it's really fun. You can travel the world. You can earn a decent income. You can meet wonderful people from all walks of life and different nationalities and make lifelong friends.
Yeah. Very good. And Sophie, what do you think? What's your advice looking into yachting or into the maritime sector?
I've encouraged actually quite a few of my friends to join yachting because my parents, growing up, hearing all the yachting stories of going through the Panama Canal and crossing the Atlantic, and I'm blown away by the traveling stories that these two have.
Yeah.
And so it just kind of opens my worldview of oh my gosh, I can go see these things and go do these things, and it kind of makes me have this travel bug.
Yeah.
And so then I was all right, I want to get into yachting, and so I kind of followed in their footsteps a little bit in terms of going up to Alaska, and I want to do more yachting in the future because it's such an amazing way to travel.
It is,
see the world.
Yeah, in America they don't push it like Australia. Yeah. You push yachting, you push maritime sector in America.
No one knows about it. I told a lot of my college friends about it, and they're like, yachting, what is that? And then I showed them pictures and I told them about it, and then they're like,
He's going to say below deck scale, and I understand.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
But then I'm like, it's not quite like that.
No, it's not quite like that. Well, I always say, over your career, you'll experience challenges, but not at the rate they have on those shows for like a week. It's like, that's pretty intense. It's a tough week of work that way. I don't want to get involved in that, you know? So.
Yeah.
Anyway, I'll leave it with you. I really appreciate your time. I can't thank you all enough.
Yes.
It's an absolute honour.
Yeah.
We can have some nice lunch on board now. Sophie, maybe see you. What's your plans for summer anyway, Sophie?
I'm going to be working at the hospital here in Port Angeles as a nursing assistant and getting more experience. I'm going to nursing school right now. So,
oh, congratulations.
In the medical field.
And Deborah, what's happening in your life? So the big sawmill, the extensions.
I'm still working hard at taking care of our family farm and taking care of my old mom and and I work at the hospital too, actually. So yeah, just a variety, and just making, most importantly, being taking care of Marty, so he can keep doing his good work.
Yeah,
we got the vegetable garden and the fruit orchard to take care of. Yeah, so we got a little piece of property just up the foothills of the Olympics here.
Oh, stunning! Yeah, I saw the pictures yesterday. All I can say is you're a legend. Honestly, Marty, meeting you is a pleasure, and your story of how you've got such a well-rounded career, I think people should be looking at that. And that's what I'm speaking to Captain Zach, going, look at this. This is the evolution you can have within this yachting industry, you know? Anyway, folks, 191 Trinity Unbridled, available for the summer. Give us a shout. Any questions, let us know. You can get a hold of Marty. His email's in there as well. Speak to myself or those Instagram and YouTube things. You can message me on there if you need. Be safe. Be blessed.